Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Monday morning. The Las Vegas Raiders had the easiest remaining schedule left in the AFC, but there was nothing easy about last night. In fact, it was a tough pill to swallow. Mahomes' magic rears its head again. A 22-yard touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, 28 seconds to go, and the Chiefs' exact revenge on the Raiders, who had handed them their only loss of the season. And it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Huge NFL issues. Our front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, to break it down in 30 minutes. Fellas, break down the weekend, then we will break down an incredible Sunday in the NFL and some very eyebrow-raising things in college football on Saturday as well. I should mention this morning we are here at our ESPN campus in Bristol, Connecticut. How was the weekend?
Well, you let them off the hook. You had them. You had Michigan. You let them off the hook, Zubin. How did you do that, coach?
He is referencing my alma mater, Rutgers, who was looking for one of the biggest wins in school history over Michigan. Remember, Michigan is the all-time major wins leader. Rutgers, arguably Jay Knows Jersey native, one of the worst programs in the history of college football.
Rutgers thing to do.
I became a Rutgers fan for about four quarters in two overtimes.
Do you know
I
how
was a
torturous,
major Rutger fan.
And how torturous was that? I've been doing it for 42 years. Okay, so that's how bad
I was hoping and praying that they beat Michigan, though. I just felt like hating on Michigan that day.
Just continue to dig the grave deeper for John Harbaugh.
Oh, man. It was one of the – and then college game day, you had Desmond and all pick Utah over USC. So it gave me extra motivation to pick Rutgers over Michigan. But my weekend was good.
And we should quickly mention, of course, Desmond, Heisman Trophy winner at Michigan. Michigan over Rutgers, 48-42 in triple overtime. And Rutgers may have lost the game, but I think Michigan found a quarterback in Cade McNamara. The Joe Milton era was nice while it lasted. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But go ahead, dig in. There's so much from this weekend, especially from a crazy NFL Sunday.
No, it was. You got through college football, Jay, and, you know, free agency on Friday. Big, seeing all the trades, and not the trades, but the signings of a lot of free agent players going to different teams. My Lakers got rich again.
They've been rich.
Rebuilding that roster was big. But then watching some football yesterday, pro football, obviously, and starting with last night's game, the Raiders, much like Rutgers, they let them off the hook. They had them. You know, it was 2 minutes left of that game when they scored that touchdown, and I said, you know what, they're going to lose this thing because the guy on the other side, Patrick Mahomes, has too much time left to go down and do exactly what he did, which was score, and the game was over. He left the Raiders no time to go back down and do what they did. And you just – I don't know how they left Kelce wide open in the back of the end zone. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Somebody blew the coverage, obviously, screwed things up, paying attention to Patrick Mahomes, and they wound up losing that game. It was a good one. Now, the Raiders are the only team, in my opinion, outside of maybe Pittsburgh, that I feel can give the Chiefs a run for their money.
You don't give the Colts anything, even with that defense and the performance they had last night? Mm. I mean, their defense is elite, right? I question their defense. We also talked about who teams play against, but, I mean, if you catch Phillip Rivers on the right day, on a hot day, I mean, you have to give them somewhat of a chance.
I'm not ready to bite him yet, though. I understand they beat the Packs. I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to buy Phillip Rivers and the coach yet. Mm. Doesn't mean I won't come around to it in a couple weeks. But I don't think in terms of Kansas City, I think their best shot, anybody's best shot, is probably the Raiders right now.
It's really funny, yesterday watching two quarterbacks get the ball pretty late in the game with the Green Bay game, first off, I was like, all right, Aaron Rodgers just doing Aaron Rodgers stuff. I mean, what was that, 50-yard pass that he threw? Found a way to get the field goal to tie the game. I thought they were going to win the game. Colts found a way to win the game down the stretch. But then the other quarterback, and talking about the Raiders game last night, Patrick Mahomes, it was a couple weeks ago. I remember saying, like, everybody was talking about Russell Wilson. I'm like, all right, well, Pat Mahomes just seems like he is destined to get another MVP, Key. 2 minutes left, catches the ball. I mean, now he has a 27-2 TD to interception ratio. That's stupid. That's insane.
He was always in the conversation. It's just that Russell Wilson started off so hot. And he hadn't won an MVP, let alone got an MVP vote, a single vote. So that momentum made it feel as though if he stayed on track, he would have an opportunity to win it. But once he started to kind of settle down, tail down a little bit, had a turnover problem, Patrick Mahomes continued to ascend and continued to show why he was the MVP 2 years ago. And so as you look at it, he now has, in my opinion, stepped up as the number one guy. Russell Wilson's back in the conversation. And tonight, Tom Brady takes on the Rams. If Tom Brady goes out there and does Tom Brady-type things, he pushes himself into the conversation even deeper.
I will say, we're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed this morning, who's the one team the Chiefs don't want to face in the playoffs? You sort of heard Key's answer. It's the Raiders. I'm kind of surprised Key didn't say the Steelers. More on that in a second. Be a part of the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Key did say maybe the Raiders do have their number. Two tight games, one win, one loss. Jay said two picks for Patrick Mahomes. The only two picks for Patrick Mahomes both came courtesy of the Las Vegas Raiders, so there's something there. But Key, the Steelers are 10-0.
He said the Steelers are in the conversation. He said
I think it should be a clear runaway. I think it should be a clear runaway for the Steelers. 10-0, undefeated, short week, a struggling Ravens tap on tap Thursday.
I think that if the Steelers and the Raiders are both there, but because I'm coming off the Raiders' victory against the Chiefs and coming off a near victory against the Chiefs in the style in which they played, makes me believe that they're the ones that can give them a tough out. Now, but Pittsburgh, obviously being undefeated, Zubin, there's no question about they're going to give them a run for their money. I mean, Chase Claypool and Juju and Big Ben and just what the Steelers are doing. And they're catching the Ravens, like you said, on a nasty loss to the Tennessee Titans in overtime and on a short week. Now, they have to think about going to Pittsburgh and playing. The game's in Pittsburgh, right?
Correct. Thanksgiving night, 33.
They have to go to Pittsburgh and play against a Steeler team that's staying on track to have the number one seed. That's the beauty of the way that the NFL has made this thing with this one bye for one team, that now you have the Chiefs with one loss and you have the Steelers with no losses, who's trying to continue to stay the course to the end of the year. So you're going to have they're going to have to play. So you're going to see a good game out of this one.
That's why that Chiefs win was so big last night, so they could stay within one game of Pittsburgh. But I just want to throw your old numbers back at you. I mean, I look at it this way, Key. You've always said it's really tough to beat a team three times in a season. Both of these games could have gone either way. But the fact of the matter is the Steelers are 10-0 and the Raiders are 6-4. So I'm just a little surprised that you see them almost on equal footing, at least against the best team in football.
Well, because you're talking about a division, right? You're talking about two coaches that know each other with the Chiefs and the Raiders. You're talking about Carr knows that defense like Mahomes knows the Raiders defense. It's a divisional opponent. They see each other. When you play against divisional opponents, it's just not me watching tape against you. I'm also watching the other team that I might be playing that's already played you. So I get an opportunity to see you so much, right? When think about it, the Chargers play the Chiefs. They're watching film, and the Raiders play the Chiefs. They're watching film of the Chargers, even though it's the Chiefs. But they're looking at the Chargers. They see what's going on. Or when the Chiefs play the let's say the Chiefs playing Denver, the Raiders are playing Denver at some point. They're not necessarily watching the tape for the Raiders. They're watching it to scout Denver, but it shows up. So you get an opportunity to see so much of one another. This is an out of division matchup we're talking about with the Steelers and the Chiefs. I'm talking about more in the division. I know you. I know your tendencies. I know the way you walk. I can tell. I know the way you smell. All of those sort of things.
All up in you. Know the way you smell, huh?
I know the way you smell.
You know where I want to go with that comment. I'm going to leave it alone.
Oh, God. His kid here.
Please don't.
I will say.
Please don't.
I will
609.
Say,
I think 609. I have a read.
What? I was going to say, though, I do look forward to Thursday when the Ravens play the Steelers because I wonder after that game, what else will Lamar Jackson say after that game? It seems like every game they lose, he said something that makes you wonder, what are we doing from a leadership perspective here, Lamar?
That's something we'll dig into later this morning because it has been a recurring thing. Last thing on Patrick Mahomes, this is just the greatness of Mahomes. I know every sportscaster, all you sports owner guys, they come on and they say something about Patrick Mahomes. This is the best I can do to expand on his greatness, which is already pretty evident. Last night was his 40th regular season game. So he's played about 2.5 seasons. 40 games is 2.5 seasons. In those 40 regular season games, 2 AFC title trips, 1 Super Bowl, 1 MVP. That's 40 regular season games. That shows his greatness. I don't know anything else that could top that. 40 and all of that already in the bank.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Those comments, courtesy of WWL in New Orleans. The Taysom Hill era, however long it lasts under center, is off to a good start. 18 for 23, 233. Nepotism in full effect. Key's nephew, Michael Thomas, back. 9 catches, 104 yards. Key said he would go over the century mark. Sean Payton took a lot of grief for starting Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston. Many thought Winston might start, especially after he came in relief of Drew Brees just about 8 days ago, played that second half. He pulls the trigger instead on Taysom Hill and said, look, we're not expecting perfection out of the gate, okay?
Listen, your first start ever in the NFL, I think he called one formation, flipped around the wrong way. There was one motion, and then, yeah, all of that kind of calmed down, and he got very comfortable with the flow of the game and did a good job. We did a good job up front, I thought, blocking him.
He, you said, and you're laughing, this ain't about Jameis, this ain't about Taysom Hill. That's about the dude we just heard from, Sean Payton.
No, it really is about Sean. I'm laughing because Sean said that he called the formation the wrong way. I can only imagine, you know, when he looked at his wristband or however he's getting the plays in his helmet, and when he called it, the players was probably like, I don't think we have that play in the playbook. You know, because sometimes you hear things, they all run together. But he played great, right? I noticed Sean took a little bit of heat. I was shocked that Taysom Hill started. I was one of those guys, not necessarily from a heat standpoint, but was shocked that Jameis didn't get the nod, Jay. I just felt like, oh, okay, Jameis is going to be the guy who's starting because they brought him in to be the guy in place of Brees, especially when Brees got hurt. They put him in. They didn't go to Taysom Hill a year ago. Brees gets hurt. They go to Teddy Bridgewater. So I didn't really know the confident level that Sean would have with Taysom Hill being the starting quarterback. But look, Sean put a game plan together that allowed him to be efficient. He had 0 touchdowns in the air. Guess what else he had? 0 turnovers. Mm-hmm. So that is key. If you could get that out your quarterback, you're going to win a lot of games.
Short passes. He punches the ball in the end zone. Serviceable key. It's interesting. Two different narratives here going different directions, right? Saints win yesterday. You're starting to look at how many games with Drew Brees miss, maybe another 2, 3. Can Taysom Hill?
No, every day he gets more ribs. Something wrong with his ribs. So,
yeah. But it feels like if Taysom Hill can carry that load, help them, right? And then the Jameis Winston part. I mean, a guy that's only thrown 20 passes gets a start over you. Hey, then wins. What's the narrative become about Jameis Winston
moving forward,
right? I mean, that's what Sean Payton is. And I know we hate to do this, but Sean Payton is an offensive guru, right? That's what he's supposed to do, make quarterbacks great. But now Jameis Winston is on the sideline watching this team win games with a guy that's only thrown 20 career passes.
Well, it with Sean, I think it's more about
fit and understanding, like he's been around the team a longer
No, I think it's more about, at this time, the opponent, too. Like, what he wanted to do from an offensive standpoint probably fit better with Taysom Hill against Atlanta than if he had Jameis. Taysom Hill ran the ball. He did some. He did Taysom Hill type things that they took advantage of with Atlanta's defense. Could he do the same things with Jameis? So when he's game planning and he's sitting in a room with the coaches and they're coming up with the game plan, they're saying, this is what works against Atlanta. Who's best to do this? Taysom Hill's best to do it. Okay, so let's allow him to do this because he can.
If that was the case, though, wouldn't they use a mixed up combination of both? Like, he just went solely with Taysom Hill.
Because Taysom Hill was cooking, though. I mean, he was doing everything right. So it was really no reason to mix it up. If they go with that game plan like they do with Drew Brees, where Brees is the starting quarterback, then all of a sudden Taysom Hill comes in, Drew Brees goes out of the game or lines up at the receiver position. That's more of trick football opposed to here's our game plan. We're going to keep them, you know, unbalanced to a degree and not exactly tell them what we're doing. Because if we bring Jameis in and out, they'll know. If we leave Taysom in, they won't know exactly what it is that we're trying to do.
I hear you on explaining the nuances and the intricacies of it, and I appreciate that. I hate that for Jameis Winston at the end of the day because I think the conversation turns into, is this an indictment on Jameis Winston?
No, it's not. And the reason it's not is because you have the head coach there vouching for him. The head coach, I think a lot of people are looking at this as a one-stop year for Jameis, and it's not. Jameis is going to be in New Orleans for a couple more years before he moves on to another team because his body of work is in Tampa Bay, not at a new team in New Orleans. So the last thing you saw of him as a starting quarterback was in Tampa. He's got to do with Teddy was there for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Teddy wasn't there. Everybody thinks Teddy was there for 5 games. Teddy was there for 2 years. Then those 5 games, they got to see what he was under Sean, and then they made a decision based on him those 5 games, plus Joe Brady was a coach with Sean Payton before he was at LSU as the offensive coordinator. So everything kind of fit to a degree to make them want to get Teddy to go to Carolina. Jameis will be fine. I'm not worried about Jameis right now.
Couple things to add. This is really unusual because this is Taysom Hill. There wasn't one designed run call in the first half. He essentially said, if you're going to be my quarterback, you better step out and be my quarterback. You could also tell, I mean, Key, you're the expert, but even my eyes can say he does not throw a great deep ball. He underthrew a couple of passes big time. I want to just quickly mention this.
It looked like college football to me.
He's only thrown 20 passes.
Looked like college football. When I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm happy that they got the win, but I knew that my nephew was going to go over 100 yards. I just knew. I knew that they were going to force him the ball because Sean is saying, whatever you do, throw the ball to 13. Even if it's short stuff, I want 13 to get the football.
One more number. You said 13 in our final minute here. Real quick, is there any other player in the NFL that is 30 years old and you have no idea who he is? Taysom Hill is 30 years old.
Any other player?
I mean, at the age of 30, don't you think you kind of know who you are at that point? We have no idea, to Jay's point. He's thrown so few passes. He's 30. We have no idea who he is.
But I knew him at BYU. I mean, but it's a different.
I didn't. So tell me, who was he at BYU?
Same thing that you see now. That's what he was
same
doing.
Same exact player.
Same exact player. Same thing. He was a tank, a truck. He was injured often in college, but that's who he is.
Interesting. We'll see what happens at the age of 30 with the reins. For the moment, by the way, the Saints, free and clear, by far, one game up on everybody. They are the top seed right now in the NFC. Still to come, one team wishing they could have just one play back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That was on ESPN 1530. It's really a shame because I think most of you know Joe Burrow is out to a historic start, one of the best starts for a rookie quarterback in the modern era, at least throwing the ball. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including the front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's hear straight from Zach Taylor on some of the criticism after the game yesterday that Joe Burrow was done in by his offensive line, ramshackle.
You know, people keep talking about the offensive line without it seemingly watching the film from the last 4 weeks. And so, again, those guys have done a good job. It's been a revolving door of players. They're doing a great job. Joe's done a good job moving us down the field. And we felt like we were making a lot of progress over the last 5 weeks. And we're not going to apologize for any of that.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Let's head right to Mr. Tannenbaum, or Mr. T, as Mr. T, as Key calls him. Good morning, Mike. All right, first things first, you heard what Zach Taylor said about the offensive line. Can't blame the interior front. Many people are. Feels like the same thing happened to Carson Palmer about 15 years ago. He's going to join us at 9 a.m. Eastern. How much blame is on the line for the loss of Burrow?
Absolutely. This is all goes back to the Cincinnati Bengals organization, guys. We've talked about this for months. It goes back to releasing Andy Dalton unnecessarily. In all the years when you have a veteran quarterback who's smart and experienced like Andy Dalton, hold on to him. No offseason program, no OTAs, no training camp. Put Joe Burrow in the best position to be successful for the next 10 years, not the first 10 games. And it's unfortunate that he got hurt. It's tragic. Joe Burrow has a great future, but this is a self-inflicted wound by the Cincinnati Bengal organization. They didn't need to do this and put him in harm's way. They could have brought him along slowly. And I've worked with Zach Taylor. I like Zach Taylor. He's a good head coach, and I disagree with him because their offensive line, when you look at the 32 teams, is way below average. So they may have been improving, but this is an unfortunate circumstance for him and Joe Burrow.
Mike, yesterday we watched the Saints take the Atlanta Falcons down and to the woodshed, I would say, and do something bad to them. What did you make of the decision to go with Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston?
Yeah, Key, I thought it was the only decision, considering that Taysom Hill had been there for a number of years. Jameis Winston had just gotten there this offseason, and again, he was the third-string quarterback, so he probably had very few reps. I was really impressed by Taysom Hill. I thought he had good confidence, good poise. I thought he had good vision. Five different receivers caught passes. And Key, you know, when there's a great receiver, usually you're going to lock in just to somebody like a Keyshawn Johnson or Michael Thomas. But Taysom Hill distributed the ball. And you know what's really remarkable? As productive as they were in offense, Alvin Kamara didn't have a catch. So if I'm sitting there and I'm Sean Payton, I know there's actually room to grow with Taysom Hill, which is really exciting. And how about this? The New Orleans Saints are 6-0 in the last 2 years without Drew Brees.
Mike, whose side are you on here? Keyshawn says that the Eagles need to stay with Carson Wentz. I'm a huge believer they need to go with Jalen Hurts. Whose side are you on?
Yeah, Jay Will, unfortunately, I'm with Key. What's really remarkable about Carson Wentz when I watch him is he really lacks confidence. You know, that pick six, the reason that happened, guys, is he didn't trust his eyes or his progression. He had a receiver down the seam wide open earlier in the play. And for a guy that's been as successful as he's been, he's not playing with any confidence. He's 29th in the NFL in completion percentage, which is remarkable for somebody of his ability. So I think right now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Eagles are in first place in the NFC East. I think you stay with him. But, boy, I think that leash gets shorter and shorter each week.
Is it just because of the money, Mike? Is it just because of the contract?
I don't think so, Jay Will. I think this is a guy that's played at a really high level in the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts is an intriguing player, but we just got done talking about Joe Burrow. Bring Hurts along slowly. You know, there is no rush. And when he plays well, he gives you the best chance to win. If I was them, I would be doing a complete autopsy of how did we get here? Is it the offensive line injuries? Is it the skill players? Did we make a mistake? We could have drafted Justin Jefferson, who's doing great in Minnesota. We took Jalen Reagor. So how did we get here? And I would put my efforts and energy into solving that if I was the Eagles.
Mike, you talk about rush. You're talking about this with these quarterbacks. Your old team, the Miami Dolphins, seem to have rushed Tua to get out on the field. Now, he's been playing great. He didn't play so great yesterday. He was benched. What do you make of that, although it was late in the game?
Yeah, and I think context here is important. You know, they've won five in a row. And I think one of the things that's been impressive about Coach Flores is the standard is the standard, right? They signed Jordan Howard to a big contract in the offseason. That didn't work out, and they moved on from him. And I think the message they sent yesterday was, look, Tua, you've played well. Not great, but you've played well. You deserve to start. He wasn't playing well yesterday. I think the rush impacted him. And in fairness, Vic Fangio knows how to rush the passer. So that Bronco pass rush, even without Von Miller, has been productive. And I think he said, you know what, in this two-minute drill, Ryan Fitzpatrick's been magical in the past. He may give us the best chance. And I know that may hurt Tua's confidence short term, but it sends the right message to the team, which is I'm going to treat everybody the same, everyone consistently, and he pulled them. And it's interesting, going back to Jay Will's point, which is you look at Doug Peterson, he did do that for Carson Wentz, and we'll see, you know, which team is better for it long term.
And true to form, Fitz nearly rallied them to the win, turning into Fitzmagic nearly one more time, but Denver comes up with the big win. Justin Simmons, huge defensive play there in the waning moments. In our waning moments with Mike, last thing for you, another disappointing loss for Baltimore. They've dropped three of four short week. They got the undefeated Steelers on Thursday. Lamar Jackson, after the game, that devastating OT loss to Tennessee, the reason they lost the game, Lamar thinks, is pretty simple.
You know, we just had two losses in a row. Games we, you know, we should have won. We had little hiccups in the game, but we still got to keep fighting through it. You know, that team, it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas, but we just got to keep it going.
Mike, that team wanted it more than us. Less than a year ago, this guy was the second unanimous MVP in NFL history. Now, as Lamar himself said, lost two in a row, lost three of four. What's your reaction to his comments? The other side wanted it more than we did.
Yeah, Zubin, I was a little disappointed by that. And Lamar Jackson is going to be a great player for a long time. I think he's just young and immature in terms of dealing with the media and what to say. I think it comes down to four players when he talks about lack of physicality. Two on the offensive line, Ronnie Stanley and Marshall Yanda, who retired. And two on the defensive line, Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. You take four really big physical players off of either side of the line of scrimmage. To me, that was the difference in the game. Tennessee was able to control the line of scrimmage. They eventually wore down Baltimore. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, I got to be a little bit more careful because you're really talking to your teammates, and they played hard. They just came up a little bit short yesterday, and they have to clean up some things because right now, remarkably, if the season ended today, they would not be in the playoffs. So massive game this week. You have to have a short memory. You have to move on, and you have to support your teammates.
There is no question about that. That's a stunning stat that Mike said. Right now, they would be on the outside looking in. In fact, the Raiders would have that coveted seventh spot sitting at a 6-4 record. Crazy. But the Ravens and the Dolphins, both at 6-4, would be on the outside looking in. They wore down the Ravens, but I think it's fair to say, as we found out yesterday, there's no wearing down Derrick Henry. He just gets better as the game goes on. What a beast. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mr. Z, good to be with you as well.
All right, B.A. Baracus joining us this morning. You have to be old enough to get that one on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's run this down with Lamar. This has been a big thing. This isn't just yesterday's comments. Remember the divisional game? This was the rematch against mm-hmm. the Titans yesterday. In the divisional game, Lamar came out and said last year, when the Ravens were a 14-2 team, had won 12 games in a row, they were the number one seed. Tennessee rolls in there, and what does Lamar say after the game? Lamar says, we were just not prepared for them. We didn't actually think they were going to be that good. We took them a little lightly, which is amazing to say. Then, a few weeks ago, he tells Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show, you know, I'm going to the line and other guys know our plays. And then they lose to the Pats on Sunday Night Football. And he goes, man, we're ticked off. We just lost to the Pats. And then yesterday,
and he blamed the weather.
And he blamed the weather. A tough one, right? And then yesterday, you just heard it. They wanted it more than us. Key, this guy is up for a huge extension, much like other guys are. He is the unanimous MVP less than a year ago. He's a great quarterback. But what do you make of all of these? I mean, you said it last week, so I'm going to use the word. Excuses that he's making.
Well, I think when you look at it, you know, much like Mike Tannenbaum just said, you're young and you really don't know how to handle certain situations with the media. He's not the most talkative guy around, let's be honest now. He's not like you see Lamar just out there, especially last year. His spokesperson was his running back. I mean, so when you look at it, it's a hard thing for me to assess him at the quarterback spot and say, well, okay, these other quarterbacks that are getting these big, huge extensions at the quarterback spot. Not what he's saying. I don't care about what he says, the excuse part of it. I'm talking about his playing ability. Mm-hmm. Do I want to extend $107 million to a quarterback with this style of play without the necessary weapons around him if I'm the general manager? Do I want to wait and see? Zubin, do I want to give it a year more? Do I want to take it all the way down? Do I want to just see what it is and run it back next year and add some more pieces to the offense so I can see what his development is going to be like before I just step out there and just pay him like Carson Wentz? Is he worth that type of dollar figure? I understand he won an MVP a year ago. I get all of that. But is this all we're going to get? Is we're going to get second round playoff, struggling to find out if we can even get to the playoffs?
Zero playoff wins?
I don't care about that because he's young. Okay. A lot of quarterbacks are young and they play in a couple years. I understand it's a sexy topic to say, well, he hasn't won any games in the playoffs. Dude's only been in the league 3 years. Now, if we were saying this six or 7 years from now, he hadn't won any games in the playoffs, now we got an issue. I'm willing to give him a pass on that. But is he the quarterback that's going to ultimately help me win a Super Bowl? Is he that type of guy?
Let's go through a key real quick. All right, who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? That's easy. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. That seems easy. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. Easy. Ben Roethlisberger. Tell me when you say no. Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins.
I would rather have Lamar.
Than Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. But you're starting to get to that 7, 8, 9 range. Is that worth the money? That caliber of money?
I need to see him with some other weapons, though. That's kind of what I'm waiting to see.
I understand it's his third year, but this is where I really want him to start spending some time with Marshawn Lynch. Just stop saying anything at the post-game presser. Just say no comment. Because what happens, Key, is the numbers start to speak for themselves, yeah. And you're having these conversations, but then that's just you're adding fuel to the fire, right? Like, you don't need to give reasons why you lost. Just say we weren't good enough today. Because I feel like that alienates him from teammates.
No, it doesn't, because they all know who he is. They know his personality. We, or Zubin in the media, the media types, they don't really know his personality. So the first thing, as soon as he says something, it sounds worse than what it really is. Because as a teammate, I already know who LJ is. I get who he is. So
wouldn't that become annoying to some degree?
No, not really.
If it keeps happening? Well,
because you know him, though.
I know,
Jay,
but
you
Key,
know you around but, him every Key, day. You know
Key,
him.
You made marginal quarterbacks look way better than what they are, right?
I did my job.
You're Keyshawn Johnson. I get it. But doesn't it come down to a point where you need a quarterback to make marginal players look better than what they are if you're going to pay them high, high-end money?
You would want your quarterback to be able to throw the ball to whoever's out there and for them people, whoever's out there, to be able to catch it. The problem that I have is they don't really – I mean, Hollywood Brown is a second, third receiver. He's not a one. He's not the, he shouldn't be the long ranger on the team. Willie Steed is a 3-4. He shouldn't be your 2. Lamar's favorite targets are the tight ends. I don't want my quarterback to be the tight end. I need him
to get
the football to the receivers.
I just feel like whenever I watch Lamar play, he is the Russell Westbrook of the NFL. Like, he's a guy that's going to get you a lot of stats, crazy athletic, going to do things. But at the end of the day, like, Russell Westbrook needs to make shots in order to help you win a championship. I need Lamar Jackson to make marginal wide receivers better.
He needs to be more consistent with delivering of the football, but I also believe that they need to go out there and get them a Justin Jefferson, a young gun that can grow with Lamar. And they did it with Hollywood Brown, but they need another guy. Hollywood Brown's, he's a second or third guy. They need an alpha dog. They got to just have a big. They need to go get a big.
So you would still pay him?
I need to see what he is with some stuff around him.
But let me ask, if he didn't get stuff around him.
No, I can't give him a nickel.
You can't give him that.
No, I can't give him a nickel.
Because they give him way more money to the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball.
Not for my quarterback. I can't give him $200 million. I can't do it as a general manager if it's me. I love him. It's cool to watch. But I only could go so far with him. I only could go so far with the running around and the, you know, looking exciting. And I can only go so far with that.
Amazing. Think about it. Unanimous MVP. Only Tom Brady has done it. And the fact that certain guys like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who we'll talk about in a minute, easily get $100 million deals. Key not willing to go there to the max from Lamar Jackson because he thinks in some ways, not that he's maxed out, but some ways it may not be what we thought it was. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
No, it's everything I thought it was. It's everything I thought it was.
So you had a lower ceiling than most.
He needs help to learn how to throw the football and deliver it to the receivers. It's everything I thought it was.
That's fair enough.
That's crazy, though. We're saying that about the former MVP, that he needs help on learning how to deliver the football. Doesn't that just sound...
But he's a former MVP, man.
I know the way he did it.
The way he did it. He dominated at that level, especially when you look at a quarterback going over 1,000 yards. That's like unheard of.
But then
nobody does that at the quarterback
But when
spot.
I hear you say that, I then can't go from that comment to putting him in the same categories, the upper echelon of the NFL that got paid that
different,
type of money.
Different type of quarterbacks. The whole point is, can you win a championship with that style?
Fair.
And I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens can win with that style unless they go get him an alpha dog.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough, because you said Hollywood Brown is a two. And if you watch Justin Jefferson again yesterday, even in a loss, he is proving himself as a strong number one. Again, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at Progressive.com. Jay mentioned Marshawn Lynch. I'm not here to get fined. I'm just here to do A to Z. I'll keep it on the straight and narrow. A to Z brought to you by Redbox. Jay's got the music back in effect. Hey. Redbox has new movies at the box, streaming on demand. Don't miss Unhinged, starring Russell Crowe. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. This is a big story. The biggest story in college football this weekend was a game that wasn't played. What else is new? 18 cancellations or postponements. Clemson, Florida State set to go, but Clemson had an offensive lineman that tested positive for COVID-19 on Friday. Clemson took 9 buses to the game for social distancing. 9 buses to keep guys apart. Dabo Swinney said, "We followed all the protocols." Florida State said, "We don't want to play the game." Dabo essentially said, "You don't want to play the game because you don't want to play us. And you're using coronavirus as an excuse." Shots fired. Dabo not backing down. In fact, expanding upon that point.
"This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson, or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards."
Okay, last thing I want to mention, Jay, before you dig in here. Florida State did say, with regards to equal time, "We are willing to play the game in December, just not Saturday because of the testing, but we are not scared, we're not cowards, we will play the game if possible in December." Your thoughts on Dabo's thoughts?
Take it away, Jay. COVID.
So what if COVID was an excuse? It's a valid excuse. This is what makes Dabo so unlikable, in my opinion. Like, first off, if you're going to complain about expenses for $300,000, then take it out of your $9.8 million salary, Dabo. Like, I hear what you're saying. Of course, you wanted to play a game. You bust 9 buses down there. You want to get everybody down there to play a game. But it didn't work out that way. Move forward. Why do you have to make comments publicly about it? He said so many things, man, that just rubbed me the wrong way. And I understand that he's going to be the face of college football. He is the face of college football, but this continues to be not a good look. One of the faces of college football. This just continues to be a bad look, man, when he opens his mouth.
Fair enough. Remember over the summer, he opened his mouth against some of the Black Lives Matter. He had to take back those words. Now, I assume at some point he may want to be a little bit more contrite with what he said here. To the NBA, to the fellas, Keys team, the Lakers, Jay Sport, the NBA. The Lakers are finalizing a 2-year deal with Marc Gasol. I'm going to trade away JaVale McGee in a future second-round pick to clear some room. So now Jay, they have added Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, Wesley Matthews.
What?
They've lost Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard, and Danny Green. What do you think of the moves the Lakers have made?
The Rondo loss may hurt them a little bit from an orchestrating perspective, but I mean, what a huge upgrade. We got into this argument. People that didn't have Rob Pelinka as the executive of the year, they need to stop.
You do understand this is his second tenure with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah,
Gasol.
Sure.
Not his brother. You know, he was originally drafted by the Lakers.
He was drafted by the Lakers, right. And they got him for Paul Gasol. Yeah.
But Powell was okay with the Lakers.
Yeah,
we
cool, but I'm saying this is Mark's second turnaround with us. Take it away, Jay.
By the way, you got 2 6 men of the year. You got Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder. That's an upgrade.
I haven't even got fitted for my championship ring from this season.
Man, it's ridiculous.
And we've already started, sizing for the next year.
I want to ask you this. This is amazing to me, and maybe this is just life these days. These guys, listen to this. Over the weekend, Donovan Mitchell, big deal, right?
Yeah.
To stay with the Jazz.
Supermax, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Gordon Hayward goes to the Hornets. A little surprising, right? $120 million.
See, y'all complain about Mike spending money. That's what y'all get.
Boston messed up, man. Should have signed a trade with Indiana.
Interesting. So he leaves Boston. Mike, of course, Jordan, the owner of the Hornets. De'Aaron Fox and Jason Tatum at 195. Those four guys, Mitchell, Hayward, Fox, Tatum, you guys were born in the wrong era. Total, just for those four guys over the weekend, $641 million.
Wow.
$641 million for those four guys.
Yeah, see, I wasn't born in the wrong era. I just played the wrong sport.
You know who hasn't been paid yet, Zubin?
Tell me.
Bam Adebayo.
You know who else hasn't been paid yet? Ball. And he came out with them, huh?
Lonzo. I don't think Lonzo's going
to
get that.
No,
kind
but
of
I'm saying, but to come to think of it, he was the second pick in the draft, though.
Yeah.
Those dudes went all behind him.
Yeah, well, Markelle Fultz was first, though.
Oh, yeah, Markelle Fultz was first. That's right.
Here's the thing that's interesting about Bam. You ready? Bam's agent is the same agent for Giannis.
Oh, Miami connection.
So there are three teams that are trying to move around cap space right now, Key, between Miami, the Mavs, and Toronto to try to sell Giannis on it. So that's interesting. Pay attention to that.
What in the world to do with Wentz? We'll discuss it next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.